Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I just praise you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a loving God. And you're a gracious God. And we praise you. We glorify you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this great time ahead of us. I know it's real soon. I can feel it in my bone that it's a time of the man-child's coming in the bride's anointing. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Tonight, Lord, we just ask that you be with us. Let all the gifts be in operation. Thank you for your discernment and your wisdom. And Father, we just ask and we pray that tonight would be a blessing to everybody, that the teaching, if that's what you want us to do, Lord, is going to be awesome. And we praise you and thank you for an open heaven, Father, where everybody that prays tonight, that gets prayer or prays, will get their prayers answered. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. It happens all the time here. And that's an awesome testimony to the faith of the people here. And we praise you and we glorify you for all that you're going to do this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I know what y'all want to know what happened Tuesday night. I know what's on your mind. I can tell you. And it's the first time since I've been doing this outreach that I have ever not had an outreach. But here's the reason. The reason is that the Lord was talking to me and telling me some things, instructing me, and he's still doing it. But he allowed me to come on tonight. That's fine. So that's what it is. That's all it was, is God is showing me things. And it's been an awesome experience. And at some point in time, maybe we can relate some of it. But right now, we're just going to have a good time tonight with each other. And I want to say something else. It's the first time that the Lord wanted me to not do the Zoom and do him only. And it was for a good reason. So don't let that be an invitation for y'all to skip the fellowship because Michael did it, because that's the first time in the 12 years since I've been here that I voluntarily did it myself. So I'm just saying. Okay, anybody got anything they want to pray about or testimony or praise report? Yeah, Missy.
Today is Alex's 25th birthday. And I just like to pray for him. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you for Alex. I thank you for the work that you've done in him, that you are doing in him. I thank you, Lord, that he is a mighty man of God and he loves your word and he's running after you with all his heart. I thank you, Father, for Merle's boldness to stand up and give him a correction and not letting him squeeze out of it. I praise you, Lord, for doing that, Lord, and in Merle. And I thank you, Lord, for that Merle is the father that he needs to be, and then Alex is the son that he needs to be spiritually and physically. And I thank you, Lord, that also that Merle is the head, is my head, and he's taken that authority that has been given to him. And Father, I just ask you to bless Alex with the heart to run after you and make you first in his life, Lord. And that no job or anything else is going to be before you, Lord, because you are number one, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for just greatly blessing him with a love and a desire to know you more, to know you as his father, and to know Jesus as his savior and what all that means. And I just praise you and I thank you. And I thank you, Father, for a good time together with him on Saturday when he comes over for dinner, and that he's going to stay a while, Lord. I thank you that he's going to stay a while and that we're going to have a good time together, Lord. And he's going to, that he is just open and free and happy and joyful, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that he will appreciate and use and take advantage of using the gifts that we're giving him for his birthday, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that they will be used to draw him closer to you, Lord, and just put joy and peace and rest in his heart. And I just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' mighty name for blessing him with every spiritual blessing and heavenlies, and choosing him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before you in love, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for doing that for Alex and Merle Bo. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anyone else? All right. Well, I guess we can jump right in. I'll tell you what. Let's get the angels busy. What do you think? I don't like for them to sit around. I like for them to do stuff. From Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you for these angels that you've given us. And Lord, forgive us for not putting them to work like they want to be. And Lord, I thank you for that. I remember that vision you showed me probably 11 years, 10, 11, 12 years ago when we were over at Sweetwater of all those angels standing around, mulling around in the house and outside in the yard. They were just a bunch of them just mulling around. And I said, what is this? And then the next morning, you placed it in our hearts to start praying. And so we did. And that's when I saw the angels all congregate in front. They were all flying about first. And then when we started praying, they came around and just in a group sat in front of us or stood in front of us. And as soon as we started praying in the spirit, they started taking off. And I could see that they had punched their time clock and they were going to work. And that's what you want, Father. And I thank you that we're going to put them to work tonight in the name of Jesus right now. I come against the factious spirits that have come against this ministry, and I command you to cease and desist what you've been doing against us. I cast down every curse spoken against the fellowship, the outreach, the local, and everything in between in Jesus' name. Every curse spoken, we cast it down as null and void. Every family, every member that has been cursed, we strike it down as null and void right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, that we're going to continue this work against our enemies, your enemies, Lord. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for protecting, providing for, And Lord, those that need provisions, we ask, Father, that you multiply to the extent that they will be able to do over and above everything that they ever thought about doing for you in their place where they are right now, in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for getting everything they need, protecting them, dealing with the things around them, the circumstances, bringing them to your good pleasure, that if everything will be smooth and transition is going to be great and people will get saved, many people, because that's what you've put us here for. You told us to come here and be in dominion over this earth and to bring heaven down to the earth. We see a lot of hell here, but we're going to see heaven in the days ahead. Come straight to the earth and bless the people that want you, Lord, and we praise you for it. We glorify you, Father, that we're coming into that ministry now, where we understand who is inside of us. It's you, Lord, that's inside us. The creator of the universe is inside of us. And when we understand the love that you've given us and place yourself and your spirit inside of us to direct us and guide us and lead us into those things that you'd have us to do, Father. And not only that, the power to, the, with the signs and wonders of the power of God Almighty to heal, deliver, and set free the people out there on the streets. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that this time coming is right on us in Jesus' name, because it's right now, because you're in us. You ain't no, you're not any smaller now or bigger now than you are going to be, because you're the same God. And all we have to do is just mind ourselves of it. And not only that, that your love permeates from us, Lord. The love of God dwells within us. And with the love of God dwells in us, that's the love of God dwells out of us too. That we're that lamp on the stand that's a light for the world to come to. And we praise you, Father, for wherever we go, we are that light in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We thank you, Father, that your angels are headed out right now. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Everybody agree? Thank you, Father, for the protection, provisions, and everything else that I prayed for in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, somebody had their hand up. That was Lana. She left out. Okay, Lord, bring her back in Jesus' name. Yeah, Julie.
I'd like to pray and just kind of add on to what you prayed.
You might, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Father, I just praise you. God, you are the God of our salvation. You're our victorious, mighty right arm. You are our deliverer, our healer, our savior, our provider, our covering. You're our redeemer. Lord, you are everything that we could ever want. Lord, I thank you for the trials and the testings. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in me through my trials, the long suffering and the patience, the endurance, the waiting and trusting you, the believing, and the fighting the good fight of faith and teaching me things and showing me things, correcting me where I need it, Lord, and encouraging me. You always encourage me. You don't leave me down there, Lord, and I thank you for doing that. I know that a lot of us are going through stuff, Lord, and I just pray an outpouring of your grace, encouragement, strength of soul, a stirring up of the Holy Ghost in us, Lord, just an outpouring of the faith that we are fully assured by your words, Lord, your words of promises that you won't fail us. You won't give up your word. You've made promises to us, Lord, and it's our part to hang on to that and not give up. And I thank you, Lord, for strengthening us all, Lord, and upholding us, causing us to keep running this race and overcoming our flesh, the devil, whatever it is that we're being attacked with witchcraft, with curses, with spells, with confusion, that we are discerning these things, Lord, and you're maturing your bride. You're getting your bride ready. So that's why we can count all joy the trials of our faith, because you're maturing your beautiful bride, so she's ready. Because you want us spotless and blemishless. You want us looking for our bridegroom to return, Lord, and to be watchful and prayerful and being about our Father's business, just as you were, Lord Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, for lifting everybody up and keeping our eyes on you, that the thoughts of our heart and our minds, Lord, and the meditation that we have, Lord, within us, Lord, and our words, that they be pleasing to you, agreeing with you at all times. Thank you, Lord, for changing us from glory to glory, God. And just don't help us, Lord, not think that we have to do it ourselves. Lord, help us just be discerning of all the tactics, the tricks, the schemes of the enemy, that you're our protector in what we go through. And we want to give our high priest the good confession of our hope, that we waver not. We want to give you a bold confession, so you will confess us before the Father and the angels, and we will receive everything we ask. So I just ask, God, that you lift us all up, Lord, and encourage us and to keep going forward and not look back at the problems, or not get weighed down or burdened down with anything. Lord, just bind up all these spirits of discouragement, disappointment, failure, double-mindedness, the confusion, the chaos, the uncertainties, the lies of the enemy that come at us in every way, the fiery darts, the flames that get sent at us, the oppressions, the heaviness, the spiritual stuff in our minds and the physical stuff in our bodies, or whatever it is, that we just keep fighting. Just as you did, Lord Jesus, you overcame the world for us. And we just want to praise you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you overcame the world for us. You did it for us, and you're our example. If you did it, you're doing it in us now, Lord, as we lay down our lives. Help us to continue to do that, Lord, every day. So every day, Lord, and praise you and give us praise. Put praise in our lips, Lord, for you. You're our hope. You're our joy, you're our peace, you're our great reward. We love you, Lord. I just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the Lord, I receive all of that in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Father. We can do all things through you and only through you, Lord. And I praise you, because we can't do it in ourselves, Lord, because we don't have the wherewithal. The only wherewithal we have is worth anything in this whole world is you. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Lana.
Amen. I agree. Glory, hallelujah. I have a couple of prayer requests and a praise report. If y'all remember, we prayed for my neighbor, Nadia, the single mom of three little girls who has a toxic relationship with her children's dad. She called me out of the blue, now that I'm in Tennessee, to say hi. And I was so blessed by her phone call. I wanted to share that the Lord is moving in her household, in her life. She called me and she said, Lana, first off, I'm calling you in a positive mood because I'm starting to realize that people don't want my problems. So I was like, oh, great. Good start to the phone call, right? She does tend to unload on people constantly. And she started sharing with me that not only had she started to attend the local church more regularly, but she had joined the prayer meeting nights, and she has found so much encouragement and strength in them, and so much positivity for her life. And she's been learning to trust the Lord and give it all over to him. And her girls have joined the local Sunday school and the Russian classes there. And she was just so bubbling with all these news and talk. And she was telling me how she had recently realized that the music they were listening to, that even though it was positive and it wasn't necessarily bad music, but it was worldly music that they were listening to, she and her girls. And she said, I turned it off and I realized that it wasn't doing my household any good. So we now only listen to Christian music. And I thought, my goodness, that's a huge change, because they have the biggest TV I've ever seen in my life. That takes over their entire living room, and it's constantly playing really bad cartoons. Like they're supposed to be innocent cartoons, but every time I go over there, these cartoons are horrific for kids. So I was just praising the Lord and thanking him. And I remember that a short time before I moved, she told me that when she was attending the local church, it's a very conservative Pentecostal church, and they're very old school, to the point where jewelry is still considered worldly and sinful. And she wears it. And she said, one too many people had come up to her, elderly people, saying how she shouldn't wear it because it's worldly and it's offensive. And she said, for their sake, I'm going to stop wearing it. And I was like, man, you go, girl. The Lord's moving you, whether you know, whether I agree with that or not, but that's a different topic. The Lord is softening her heart toward obeying him, and he is bringing salvation live and in the works right now into that household. And I am so excited. I was just so blessed to hear from her. So praise the Lord. I can't wait for her to give me another call and tell me more. My prayer request. So Theo is in Minnesota tonight, and he flies home tomorrow. He'll be home tomorrow before the meeting. And he's going to go stay with my sister and her husband. And we don't see them very often. Like outside of family events, we don't visit one another. And I strongly believe that it's of the Lord that they are going to be available to take him in tonight so he can spend the night with them. And then because they live closer to the airport than the company that he was with this week. The last time he tried to visit them, they were sick, and so he couldn't. And I had a feeling it just wasn't the Lord's time. But tonight he's headed over there if he's not there already. And so, Father God, I lift up my dear beloved husband, and I ask that your Holy Spirit take over that visit, Father God, and lead my husband's thoughts, his words, to share what needs to be shared, to be weak to the weak. And Father God, I come against the spirits of legalism, religion, rejection, and all others, Jezebel, Ahab, I bind you up tonight, and you are to be bound and gagged during my husband's visit. And Father God, I ask that your ministering angels give them an outpouring of grace and mercy and the ability to receive and to understand truth that's coming at them, because I know that my husband speaks nothing but truth. I know my brother-in-law knows it too. And so that they can become overcomers, so they can come out of the church, so they can come out of this apostasy, this lie that they live in, Father God, and come into the gospel. Because, Father God, we are standing in faith that you are bringing this family into your kingdom as well. And I thank you for all that and so much more that you're doing there tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Lord, we ask that you protect him all the way home, too, that he gets home safely. And he's going to have a great testimony to share tomorrow night, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead, and then I just wanted to ask for y'all just stand in agreement with us. Last weekend, we went to Lexington to visit Theo's cousin to pick up his car. And his cousin Alex is a very open-minded guy who's ready to leave the church. He sees it for what it is, but his wife, Anna, is super sweet. I enjoy her very much. She's a very submissive wife, very kind woman. But she's bound to her family that's in the church. And so we're just, I had an opportunity to chat with her and share a lot of testimonies with her. And I think I gave her a lot to think about. And I truly believe that this conversation was from the Lord, because I was not guided by any of my own logic during this time. And we're just believing that the Lord's going to use this and whatever else he's got in store for them to free up Anna and bring Alex and Anna out of the church so that they can go ahead and start diving into the things we've shared about UBM and the links and any materials that they will start to be looking for. We are praying that they will find those resources on UBM and start to ask a lot of questions and be free of that church. So, Father God, we thank you that it is all done in Jesus' name for Anna and Alex and their precious four little kids. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Going to see a great turnaround here. People are waking up. Thank you, Father. All right, Missy.
I feel to share something that y'all should probably heard before. It was a word that the Lord had given Eve not too long ago that David shared with us in the Bible study. And I put it in my phone. I copied it and put it on Word that I can get to it easily and just read it now and then. And I believe it, that, you know, since this is, you know, we're doing, we're praying and stuff right now, that this word is very much, I believe, related to prayer. So what it is it was titled Focus on My Goodness. And she says, David asked me to get a word from the Lord concerning the recent events that have been befalling certain brethren and the concern that the faction is sending witchcraft our way. And this is what he told me. If you go looking for trouble, you will find it. If you seek out the evil, I will bring it. If you get your eyes off my goodness and promises and onto the evil and the problems, then it becomes your problem. If you remember my goodness and sovereignty and thank and praise me for all things, you will have peace in mind and heart that I work all things for your good and for the good of my elect. Do not give your attention to the evil. Do not waste energy seeking to understand the evil. This distracts from my glory that dwells within you and darkens your mind and your spirit, man. You only need to believe that I am for you. You only need to have faith in my power. The only power the enemy has is granted by me because my people have opened the doors of access in their personal lives. Each individual, because of excuses, secret sins, rebellion, spiritual slothfulness, and idolatry, is held individually accountable. This is not a reflection upon the body as a whole. Each must seek me concerning any trial or judgment that has befallen them. If they seek me in all self-honesty and truth, I will reveal the reasons why to them. I will protect my body from any that stubbornly harden their hearts to my words and corrections and refuse further refining. There is no excuse for withholding praise and worship to me daily in all circumstances and to have a cheerful heart because I am your loving Father. No matter the situation and my goodness doesn't waver or change. You must keep your eyes trained on me. Don't give the enemy a moment of your time or attention. Praise and worship me at all times and in every circumstance, for this is how the hedge is built. If you give your mental and emotional energy to the darkness and the evil, this is how the hedge is torn down. Witchcraft has no power except what you give it and what you attribute to it. I have already conquered it all. If you believe my word, what you have faith for is what will rule in your lives. Every trial comes as a test to see if you will persevere in your faith. Will you have faith in me and my words, or will you have faith in the works of the devil? If you focus on the works of the devil, you will give him your power and he will continue to feed on the negativity and you are cast down and defeated in the trial and thrown into confusion, losing your steadfastness and peace to doubt and double-mindedness. Have faith in me, believe in me, and set your heart at liberty. Do not let the works of the devil move you away from your confidence in me and your faith that I have already won the battles for you. The Lord brought this text to me, Isaiah 8:12-13. Say ye not a conspiracy concerning all whereof this people shall say a conspiracy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be in dread thereof. The Lord of hosts, him shall you sanctify, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And then David says, amen. Put your eyes on the promise and bind the witchcraft in Jesus' name. Fear not them, because you have the authority over all the power of the enemy. Use it. Jehoshaphat's army went out praising the Lord, and the enemy smote each other. The man-child prophesied destruction to Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and they did the same.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. That was good. Did a good job reading that, too.
Thank you, Lord, for this word.
Amen.
If there's, if anybody would like to have this, I can't even tell you where it's at now. But if anybody would like to have it, I could send it to Michael and he could send it out to everybody, or even Julie. Julie probably has everybody. I don't know, maybe not, but it's just something good to have on hand to read now and then as a reminder when you feel like the enemy is just beating the living daylights out of you and he's getting the upper hand. When you read this, it puts it, it just puts it all back in perspective. You know?
Amen. Why don't you send it to me in a PDF form and I'll send it out to everybody?
Well, I have it in Word, so can I send it to you directly from that?
Yeah, you can, but it generally holds up better in PDF, but you, whichever one you want to. All you got to do is save it as PDF and it'll save it that way.
Okay, I'll have to look.
Okay, well, just send it like you got it and I'll look it over. If you want to.
Okay.
Okay, Isaac, Mariana, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Michael. Doing good. You?
Oh, I'm blessed, good. Brother.
Hey, man. Good to hear that. Good to see everybody. I just got a quick little testimony. And in this testimony, this is funny. I'm kind of throwing us out there. Samuel's involved. But not like anything per se, like directly, but he used him, and I'll get to that because it's really, really awesome, but I'll build my way into it because it'll be better if I do it that way. So anyways, you know, I've been here at this job at, Mitsubishi, right? Anyways, so I got contacted from one of my previous jobs I worked at, and, this place is called King's Island. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of it. Anyways, I got contacted, a bunch of changes are happening there. And, you know, I was looking into it. A few other people contacted me because they really liked me there. I had a lot of friends. And they said, you should try to apply. And I did. I applied. Well, they brought me in for an interview. And I was really thinking about going back, just because, man, funnest job I've ever did in my entire life. It wasn't even like a job. It was just cool to go there. But here's the thing. Yes, exactly, Julie, you got it. So it's a theme park, right? And exactly, you see that, Samuel? Exactly, I knew you'd get it. Anyways, it's a theme park. And, you know, because the night before I heard Wednesday's podcast, that's when they had Samuel's vision. Me and Marina prayed. We said, Lord, just show us. Give me a dream, Lord. And, you know, and I just really expected him to do it. Well, he did give me a dream on top of that. But then he did something even better. He had Samuel's vision in that ministry. And I just knew. I said, man, honey, that's it. We can't go back because, I mean, I don't know how much more clear it could be. It's the funnest job. Let me explain it. It's like 700 acres, theme parks, roller coasters. I was head of controls. It's the controls I'm used to. You know, it's so much fun. You can get lost in the park, do whatever. And it's okay. As long as you get your work done, it's all good. It's not a lot of pressure. It is pressure when people are stuck on a ride, but other than that, it's not a lot of pressure and you don't have to take work home with you. But you know what? That's not what the Lord wanted, apparently. And I just want to thank the Lord for such a clear answer and that vision that the Lord gave Samuel, because I knew, I had my interviews before that and everything. And then right when I had that, I was really thinking about it. Coworkers calling me, trying to convince me. We prayed. The Lord gave me a little dream. Actually, gave me a dream two nights in a row. But even before that, there was, or after the first dream, there was Samuel's vision. I just thought, man, that is so, so on point. So incredibly on point. So just just want to thank the Lord, man. Just, he knows how to answer us. And obviously, there's a lot more to that vision. I'm not saying it was just for me, but it was a real strong confirmation for me, too. So thank the Lord.
Amen. Oh, man, that's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for obedience. And we just praise you, Father, because you're fixing to bless his socks off, it looks like. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Want to get them angels busy? Okay. We've got a study that we've been doing. And I think we're on page 60, right? Yeah, I think so, Julie. I think we're on page 60. I got it marked on mine. Revelation concerning women's ministries. Uh-oh. Y'all, I saw something the other day about Joyce Meyer got in trouble for getting a tattoo or something like that. I don't know. Something about that. Yeah. Getting a tattoo, that. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that.
How'd she get in trouble, Michael?
I'm not sure. I just saw the headlines, Joyce Meyer gets a tattoo and gets in trouble or something like that.
But who does she listen to? I mean, where would she get in trouble?
Well, she's about 60 years old, 60, 65 years old, and getting a tattoo in a conservative Pentecostal background is not cool. I would think that's probably what's going on. Well, she may be older than that, Julie. She might have had a couple of stretches along the way. I don't know. But anyway. All right, is everybody right where we need to be on page 60? At the bottom of the page. Okay, Julie's there. All right. Dirk's there. Everybody, okay. Revelation concerning women's ministry. I woke up one time about 2 o'clock a.m. and just began talking to the Lord. One of the things I spoke to him about was the scriptural foundation for what we call women's ministry. I had noticed that some women were becoming more self-willed and rebellious against their husbands after associating with various women's ministries. Ministries that were supposedly helping women to learn to love their husbands. And the Lord spoke to me. He told me there were a lot of independent and divorced women in those ministries. And if the commands to women are not taught to them, that they would leaven the whole body. He said that if the elder women did not teach these commands, all of them would be in rebellion. Peter tells us that in 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speaking as it were oracles, that's the Greek logion from logos, and it means a divine declaration, a statement originating from God, of God. It goes on and says, if it were oracles of God, if any man ministering, as of the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That means if we're going to glorify God, we should teach what God teaches in his word, and we should say what God says in his word. The Lord said that if the woman were teaching other doctrines other than how to love and obey their husband, that they were out of order. That's what he told me. These other doctrines were to be taught by the elders or the husbands at home, 1 Corinthians 14:35. This is probably because the woman was beguiled in Genesis 3:13, 2 Corinthians 11:3, 1 Timothy 2:14. Then he told me to take my concordance and to survey the commands in the New Testament that were specifically spoken to women. So I did. I took my concordance and looked at woman, women, wife, and wives. Under the word wife, there were 6 commands, all of them concerning submission to the man. Under the word wives, there were 6 commands. 5 were clearly concerning submission to the man, and 1 was commanding her to be faithful in all things, which, of course, has to include submission. Under the word woman, there were 12 commands, all of them concerning submission to the man. 1 more command was given to Timothy to tell the women to take care of their widows. Under the word women, there were 7 commands. 6 were concerning submission to the man, and 1 was concerning modesty, so that she would not tempt the man. All of these are, of course, for the sake of both the woman and the man. Any questions or any comments? Okay, I'm going to go and read this last paragraph. Somebody take up after me when I get through this last paragraph. Actually, I was kind of shocked after I did this. I had no idea that there wasn't a much wider span of commands given to women. So I went back to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, all of these commands are concerning the woman's submission to the man, or else not tempting the man by dressing immodestly. He said, the reason that I gave the woman no other commands than these is because all other commands were to be given through the man. Even these scriptural commands were given through men. The woman is under the man's authority. He is her head. I will not go around him. This is the Lord talking to David. I have not done so even in the scriptures. David says God is showing us, folks, that he's being careful not to undermine the authority of the man. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, period. Has anybody got any thing they'd like to ask or comment on concerning this? It's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? There's not a whole lot of giveaway here. Yeah.
Samuel? So with single women, particularly, my question would be, did ages look to Christ and the elders in the church?
Or her father.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or her father. Either one, it depends, you know. If she's not living at home, yes. She must submit to all men, you know, in the church, in authority. But her father is her ultimate authority, her father in her home, if that's where she is. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew. Here it comes. Get ready. Go ahead, Andrew.
In the case of a person who might not have believing parents, that person still has to consult with the father, right?
Yes.
And he has to, or she has to, live, if they're still living at a different place, then they have to
submit to their husbands if they're married.
Yeah, submit to the husbands, but if they're children again, they would have to submit to the Lord and His word rather than unbelieving parents or just people, even in their families, you know, that this person would have to submit to the Lord rather than people that are not called even yet.
Yep.
I just wanted to make that statement just in case there's anything like that out there, you know.
The ultimate authority is, of course, the Word. That's Jesus. He's the ultimate authority.
Yeah. And it would be a hard for a person to live amongst people like that. And you know, it's actually a good trial for a person to actually go through if they're ever in something like that. Wouldn't it?
I'm sorry, I was distracted there for a second. Go ahead again, I'm sorry.
If a person was in a family situation, let's say a guy gets saved or a girl gets saved, and the parents and brothers and sisters are not believers, he still has to submit to the Lord. And it could be a trial for him or her to go through something like that from the Lord to see if they're going to stick to this this new belief they're in. But I'm only speaking from my own experience myself. You know, I was challenged by my parents, and I said, "No, I'm going to believe the word before any person on stage in the front." You know, so and. My dad just kind of prophesied it to me at the time, and he said, "You'll find in some of these other churches that they don't really believe the word either." And I was in a little bit of fear when he said that to me, but you know, you were still under like your parents, you know, even though I had my own apartment in the apartment house that my dad owned, but you know, he's giving you really special rent and stuff like that. But anyways, I just wanted to make mention of that, because there is these spirits are in various people. You know, it could be in your parents, it could be in your uncle, it could be in any person at all. You know, and whether it's a Jezebel or an Ahab or the behavior of these people toward each other would be like is in the Old Testament when Ahab and Jezebel, the way he behaved toward his queen and put her above even himself maybe sometimes. So that can happen. So well, glory to God anyway. So you know, it's the same spirit Ahab and Jezebel. It's just, it's a rebellion against God.
Amen. And that's, if we have it in our families, that's where you pray for them. And God will fix it. You may have to go through some flesh killing, but God will fix it. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Who wants to pick up the reading now? Okay. I can point somebody. I don't care.
I can read, Michael.
Okay, Vanita. Thank you so much.
Yep. Okay, the extent of man's God-given authority. If you're wondering, well, then how much authority does God give to the man? Let's briefly look at that. Numbers 31. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. When a man voweth a vow unto the Lord, or sweareth an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Also, when a woman voweth a vow unto the Lord, and bindeth herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father heareth her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father holdeth his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. So if the father permits the daughter to say, this is David speaking, so if the father permits the daughter to say something that will bind her soul, if the father says nothing but just lets it go, then it's done. But if he annuls it, then God will not count it against her. Folks, I've done this in my own house with my own children when they've said things that were contrary to the blessings and the commands of God. As the Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your children can sometimes speak things that will bring a curse on them. Whenever that happened, I've just said, nope, I don't believe that, or I don't allow that, or I don't accept that, or whatever. And this applies to wives too, which we're about to see. Numbers 30, verse 5. But if her father disallows her in the day that he heareth none of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul, shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father disallowed her. Notice the authority that God invests in the man, in this case, the father. Numbers 30, verse 6. And if she be married to a husband while her vows are upon her, or the rash utterance of her lips wherewith she hath bound her soul, this is David, you know, there are a lot of rash utterances that are spoken out of the mouths of both men and women because we need to learn how to speak. The Lord says, Numbers 14:28, as I live, surely, as we have spoken, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. When the Israelites complained that Moses brought them into the wilderness only to die, Numbers 14:2-3, God agreed with what they said, and he told them, Numbers 14:32, your dead body shall fall in this wilderness. So we have to be careful to agree with the word of God. We have to speak as an oracle of God. 1 Peter 4:11. And when we don't, then we need to repent quickly. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Be careful what you say. Don't bring the sacrifice of fools before him, which is what he calls a rash utterance. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, for to draw nigh to hear is better than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they know not what they do, that they do evil. When my wife has said things that were contrary to what we had claimed, or things contrary to the good confession that we were supposed to be making in the sight of many witnesses, or things that could anger God because they don't prove you to be a true believer, then I have used my authority as husband to annul those words. Job 2:10. Psalm 39:1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. So a father or husband has authority from God to be a bridle. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions after? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, in James, it talks about that very same bridle in the horse's mouth. So I never seen that before, those verses. So I just wanted to bring James up there. The vessel of the very small rudder. And anyway, just wanted to... I'm sure you guys even thought of it. Oh, I don't even know
how I heard that. No, I'm glad you brought it out. Yeah. What's the bridle now? That's the word, right? Amen. Okay. Anybody else want to read? Okay. I'll just read it. Numbers 30:6. And if she be married to her husband, while her vows are upon her, or the rash utterance of her lips, wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her husband hear it, and hold his peace at her in the day that he hears it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow her in the day that he hears it, then he shall make void her vow which is upon her, and the rash utterance of her lips wherewith she hath bound her soul. And the Lord will forgive her. But the vow of a widow or of her that is divorced, even everything wherewith she hath bound her soul, shall stand against her. That's pretty profound there, that you can speak a curse against yourself. And if your husband doesn't disavow it, you're cursed. Let me just tell you something that we talked about at the Bible study Wednesday, and it's this very same thing. It's shutting people down when they start talking bad about another member of the family. And I've done it many times. You know, look, we're not going to do that. We're going to cast that down in the name of Jesus right now, and it's null and void. And then you tell them, say, we speak blessings. We don't speak curses against our family members. It doesn't make any difference. What they're doing makes no difference. It's what you speak that's powerful. It comes out of your mouth. It's very powerful. How many of you heard that David's, I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before that, Bible study on that Japanese minister, or that Japanese Aomoto, I think his name was. And he put a strawberry up there, two strawberries, perfectly nice strawberries in a glass. And on one, he labeled it love. And then on the other one, he labeled it hate. And he'd go by that one. That was nice and pretty. Both of them were nice and pretty, very nice looking strawberry. And he'd tell the one that had the hate sign on it. He said, I hate you. You stink. I hate you. You're hateful. I don't like you. I hate you. And the other one, he goes, I just love you. I just love you so much. You're so pretty. And he said, within days, the one that had hate on it started getting mold on it. And it just shriveled up, and the other one stayed real nice and pretty. And he did that to a few other things as well. Go ahead, Andrew. I know you probably saw it too.
Yeah, I was watching that video the other day because I downloaded it.
Yeah.
But my son wanted to watch it, and I don't think it's on YouTube anymore. The Dr. Yamamoto. I'm not sure if it's there anymore.
I tried looking for it. I couldn't find it anymore.
Well, the link is in on the UDM page where David had that deal. It's in his notes there.
Oh, okay.
Julie's going to find it, I believe, and put it up in the chat if anybody wants. It is an amazing experiment that he had. What happens when we speak curses? And what happens when we speak blessing? And this is in the natural. This is in the natural. Yeah, Missy.
to explain about that video. That video is not just about this moto guy or whatever. It's just a piece of that video. It's not a whole video. It's just a piece that's in there.
Yeah.
So that may be why you're thinking you can't find it.
Yeah, it's on the website.
Right. It was, like Michael said, it's in the link in the Bible study.
And it's an amazing, if you can see it, if you can watch it, if you can get a hold of it, Judy's got it in the thing there now. If you can get a hold of that, you watch it, it'll show you naturally what happens when you bless and when you curse something, anything. If it's going to do that to the plants, what you think it's going to do to your children? Or your brothers and sisters, or your husband, or your wife, when you speak curses upon them. Or your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an amazing, amazing revelation. Yeah, Isaac. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, yeah, about that, that experiment, we actually tried it in our own house. We took some rice and water and, we did it. You know, there's some results I'd like to share. So Mariana and the boys, they had one labeled love. It was rice and water. Another one labeled, what was it, honey? Another one was labeled bad guy. And the other one was labeled ignore. So the loved one, they would tell it they loved it, right? The bad guy, they would tell it it's a bad guy, right? And then the ignorer, they just wouldn't do anything. And we did this, said about a week and a half, 2 weeks. So, or maybe a week, 2 weeks, I don't know, between that. Well, the ignorer was one of the first ones to turn black and go moldy. Now think about that. It's rejection, man. That's something, ain't it? Okay. The bad guy, you know, calling it bad, you know, that all that stuff. And we're careful. We didn't want to just get these bad words in our mouth and just curse and curse, but we wanted to be careful how we said things to it. Anyways, it turned blotchy, a different type of mold. And that's really weird. It was like, what was it, Marina? Yeah, red weird mold on it. But the loved one, it was the one that did not mold, right? But it did, all of them degrade, right? It's like they're fermenting, correct, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they're all fermenting. But the loved one did not mold. And they all, experiment all took place at the same time. And it's really neat because, like I said, that rehash the results. The love did not mold. It just fermented. Okay. The bad guy was like pinkish, different types of mold on it, different from any other one. And then the ignore was just black mold all over it. That was pretty neat. Just wanted to share.
Thank you, Isaac. I wondered if anybody ever did that. I was going to do it, but I never got around to it. Amen. That's right. That's the name of it, isn't it, Julie?
I put the one in, this the short one, it's like 10 minutes or something like that. And then I found, this is like a compilation. It's like 44 minutes. This might be the longer one that you might be referring to. It says in the information text that this is an original narration recorded specifically for this video for the Lion of Judah studio. I haven't watched this, but it's like 44 minutes. So it's like a longer, the same kind of thing about not speaking bad words and what happened. So just putting that out there. I haven't watched it, but that's, I just took that from the information in there.
That's an awesome testimony of how we should conduct our tongue. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and go on. Unless somebody else has got a question or a comment on those experiments. Okay, so we see there is an advantage to a wife in being submitted to a husband instead of having her own authority, as is the case of the divorced woman or the widow. Single women are under the authority of their father when young and still living at home, 1 Corinthians 7:34 through 38, or under the authority of the elders if they are widowed or divorced. That ought to answer everybody's question, 1 Timothy 5:1-16. However, note that it is only proper when elders counsel women that this should be done while in the presence of other company, such as another married couple, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. While widowed or divorced women are responsible for their own words and actions, the married and younger women have a covering in their husband or father, as Moses taught. Numbers 30 and 10. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband made them null and void in the day that he heard them, then whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord will forgive her. Every vow, every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, this is the Hebrew Sharash, and is also translated as makes no response or turns a deaf ear to, then he establishes all her vows and or all her bonds which are upon her, he hath established them, because he held his peace at her in the day when he heard them. But if he shall make them null and void after, this is the Hebrew akar, meaning after some period of time has elapsed, a delay to linger, that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. So that goes along with the ignoring that Isaac was talking about on the rice there that turned moldy real quick. That's the one that they ignored. It still got the curse. Okay. In other words, if the wife brings a curse upon the house because the husband let it go, then so be it. The husband has authority and he's supposed to use it. He's been given the command of God to use it. Any questions? Yeah, Julie.
So, you know, we're in the new covenant now, right? And it's all grace and it's according to what we know. So let's just say that there's new Christians, whatever, and they don't know this. Are they still, is this law still bound to them?
I think it's a law whether you're a Christian or not.
So our words have power, whatever we speak out.
Yes, just because of those, if you don't look at anything else other than those experiments that Isaac and Omoto had, you've got to understand that our words mean something. Whether you're accountable a Christian for every or not. Word.
Yeah, we're accountable for every word. I'm trying to think where that scripture is. I think it's in Romans, but you know, we should all give account for every word, every idle word spoken, idle word.
Yeah. Yeah, Vanita.
Thank you.
So I'm just wondering if there is an unbelieving husband in the household and he says a curse upon the household, can the wife disavow that?
I don't know. I would say that you could because of your Christian authority, but you do it. Yeah, Missy's got the answer. Let's see what she said.
Missy, you're muted, Missy.
What my thought is you can break that curse if he speaks a curse.
Well, that's what I was just saying. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, as a Christian, you have the right to do that, but you do it behind his back. You know, you do it without him hearing you, and you might talk to him about it. You know, I tell you what I would do with him. I'd show him those videos. All right, Andrew.
I just want to clarify something now. Like Julie was asking, if you have a very inexperienced Christian, okay, and he doesn't really fully understand everything, and let's say he's married, and he realizes when he becomes more mature, what has happened is wrong. So I guess repentance would need to be given, or even a chastening would happen to that person. Just because he wasn't learned enough. So what would happen in that case?
Well, your words still mean something, so whatever was spoken, if it wasn't cast down, will happen, and then he'll be asking questions about it. And that's when you can step in and say, well, you know, here's what happened. Here's what the word says. And show it to him, you know. That would be my answer to him, because you know as well as I do, people speak curses on their families, on their house, on everything around them, and they get them. Or they speak blessings and they get those. It's a two-way street.
Yeah. The word could be a blessing or a cursing.
Yeah. And they learn by experience. I learned by experience.
So if you have a rebellious person who starts out doing things right, and then they don't want to do it anymore, and that would be
faction. Yeah, they're causing divisiveness.
Okay, thanks. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And you know that's why that God lays these things out, is so that we don't come under the curse. But if we do come under the curse, we go to crying out to the Lord, Lord, what's going on? Why is all of this happening to me? And then the Lord will show them. It's because you cursed yourself with your actions. Yeah, Samuel.
When Isaac shared that, it reminded of we moved address and I used to brew kombucha. And I kept the scobies in a big jar and I used to pray over it and speak blessings over it. And it was always good every time. And we haven't used it for like 10 months. This scobies. And I had a look at it the other day, I think just a few days ago, and it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. No mold. It's just sitting there waiting to have another brew. So I just thought I'd share that. Because we still love it, you know, we want to brew it again. And so praise God, it's, the words have power, like that Speak Grace, Not Condemnation book.
Mm-hmm.
That one comes up to mind.
Yep.
And, we can counter all this stuff with the word. It's his promises. We stand on that foundation of the word. wow, the power, can we speak it out? It just cuts it all down. It smashes those, you know, it cuts it all down at the root. Those curses are destroyed and the fire just burns it all off. Thank you, Father God. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for good kibosher animals. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
I was just came to my mind, you know, about Fudge, you know, when she misbehaves, you know, I'll tell her that was bad, but I don't tell her she was bad. I say that was bad, you know, go like that to her. And I'll say, but you're a good girl. You behave and you listen, but I'll have to correct her on it. But it's like having a little kid. She's a pistol.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's go and see what the Lord got. We are taught by the word not to make vows or promises in Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5, Matthew 5 and 34. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. James 5 and 12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by the heaven, nor by the earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yeas be yea, and your nays nay, that ye fall not under judgment. I have disallowed my wife or daughters when they did make rash statements that were against the promises, or that would bring a curse if they were not disallowed. Numbers 30 and 16. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter, being in her youth in her father's house. Why didn't they need more rules than that? You know, folks, today we have an awful lot of single women and an awful lot of divorces, too. But it doesn't appear to look at the rules in the days that the Lord gave these that there were very many unmarried women. It seems they all got married. The widows were even given a command to remarry. 1 Timothy 5 and 14. I desire, therefore, that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. And that command was also extended to divorced women. 1 Corinthians 7 and 8. But I say to the unmarried, the Greek is agamos, and it means unmarried, of a person not in state of wedlock, whether he or she has formerly been married or not. And to widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they have not continency, and that's the Greek word, whatever that is, meaning to exercise self-control. Let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Also, it appears that elders have some authority in the life of widows and divorced believers too. 1 Timothy 5:16 in the Numeric English New Testament. If any believer has widows, let her relieve them, and let not the church be burdened, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. David says, I do want to repeat that any elder who is counseling single women has to have others present. We do that all the time here. Let me say here that I have fellowship with many churches and many sisters in ministry who do not have this conviction about women exercising authority over men. And I don't feel under the law to correct them. I teach the Bible and the Bible only. I try to be led by the Holy Spirit. It is God's business to correct his people. It is my job to obey him. I have done so. I will not judge you, but the word of God will. John 12 and 48, he that rejects me and receives not my sayings hath one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. The truth is that when we speak only the word of God will judge people. Amen. All right, Lana, go ahead.
Yes. Michael, I can read if you want.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
God's strict warning. Please be sure you are on the right side of this subject. We've seen straight from the scriptures what the Word of God has to say. We've seen that it's not the modern, corrupted, and reprobate faith of our day. No, it's the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Jude 1 and 3. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in privily, even they who were of old written of beforehand unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. We have to go back, folks. We have to go back and pick up again. Isaiah 30 and 21, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left, the truth is that we are hearing a word behind us. The word is that we've gone on and departed from it. Remember that the Bible says in 2 John 1 and 9, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. Did you hear that? Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. There are a lot of people that start out with you in the kingdom, but not everyone sticks with the teaching. So how do we get back to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? We have to repent. The Greek word metanoeo means I repent, change my mind, change the inner man, particularly with reference to acceptance of the will of God. I want to warn all of you who love the truth that once you see what God's word says, you must repent and begin to submit to that truth. God will bless you if you'll do it.
All right, hold on just a second. Malcolm's got his hand up. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Hi. Sorry, I'm doing some heavy stuff here. I just wanted to, I feel like I'm distracting where we're at right now. I was thinking about Oswald Chambers. Was in a situation where he and his wife had a school going, and I think it was somewhere in England or somewhere. And they just had, at the most, I think, 25 students. The whole thing was operated by faith. But they had a married couple that was in charge of the food. And they found out this couple was stealing stuff. And some folks brought this to Oswald Chambers' attention. He was in charge. And he said, let's just let it go and let the Lord convict them. And I think it was about, a week, 10 days later, that the husband came just all broken up and confessed that he and his wife had been stealing things. And Oswald Chambers says, yes, we knew that, but we just wanted the Lord to convict you. And that really affected this couple. It was very effective. Now, I know there are times when you do have to bring correction. It's just an interesting situation as how the Lord led Oswald Chambers in that situation when it came to correction. We were talking about that earlier, and I'm sorry, this is a little delayed reaction here. So anyway, back to you folks. Thanks, Malcolm.
That's a good lesson. That's a very good lesson. I'd be willing to jump on them. You know, hey, y'all get on at it. But Oswald did it in the way where they repented. And that's awesome. That's the love of Christ, isn't it? Christ knew Judas was stealing from him. Okay. Yeah, Missy.
Yeah, that was a lot of wisdom, because what came to me was that was godly sorrow. It wasn't sorrow or I'm sorry because they got caught. It was because God convicted them, you know, because it's ultimately, you know, are you going to, you know, if someone repents because they're afraid of man and afraid of what man's going to do to them, that's not real repentance. But real repentance is when they repent because they're afraid what God's going to do to them, you know.
Cindy, what was that?
The fear of God.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Anyway.
Malcolm, you're unmuted. I don't know if you knew that.
I pushed the done speaking thing, and let me get back to my phone. I'm up in the back of the pickup.
I'm going to mute you. So, go ahead, Missy.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. But yeah, that's just something that the Lord has really impressed me with, you know. It's not true repentance if it's fear of man, you know, and that you say I'm sorry, you try and rectify it or whatever, but it's true repentance when it's because of a fear of God, you know, and what he can do to you, which is, I think, kind of like what it says, what is it, Matthew 10:28 or something, fear not what man can kill the body, but fear God that can put your soul or whatever body in hell or something. I forget how it goes, but exactly how it goes, but it's kind of like that.
Okay. All right, Lana, you want to continue?
Yep. Our Father wants to develop different traits in women than he develops in men. And that's why women have their own commands in the scriptures and men have their own commands in the scriptures. If we don't obey the individual commands that were given to us, then we're just building our house on the sand. The storm and the winds are coming fast and that house is going to fall. So right now, folks, we have to get prepared. Build your house on the only rock we have, which is the word. Build your house on the eternal word of God and it will stand. Side question here.
Yeah, go ahead.
What does the sand symbolize?
Oh, the sand? Go ahead, yeah. Judy.
To me, sand is unstable. If you've ever been on the beach and you walked on sand, especially if it's not wet sand, it's hard to walk on it because you sink in it. It's unstable. It's shifting under weight all the time.
Well, I understand
even,
that.
I meant
stable. Spiritual. It's not, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's not stable. When you build your house on the rock, it's got a solid foundation. You know, it ain't going anywhere and the sand washes away, you know, and when the tide comes in, it washes away. It's sinking, you know, the sand moves. It doesn't remain, and anything that's built on sand and it's not on a foundation, it'll get washed away too. When the storms come and the waves crash on it and, you know, it destroys. There's no foundation for it, where the rock is deep within the earth. You know, you dug deep. You dug deep and you built your house on the rock and the house is on a firm foundation. It's not moving. It's not shaken. It's not shaky. It doesn't wash away. That's kind of how I looked at it.
Okay.
Maybe somebody else has seen something on there too. I just know when I was at the beach, you know, when you walk on the sand and stuff, you know, it's hard to walk in it when it's thick and dry and all that. It's easier to walk on it when it's wet because it's more solid, more firm, but it still washes away.
Let's see what Andrew has. Go ahead, Andrew. By the way, the bell, I had the bell on when people come in or leave. That's what that is. I turned it off. I know it's kind of distracting. I turned it off. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you know, there was a childhood song off the Magic Dragon, Lives by the Sea, in the Land of Honolulu. And it's not really good if you take that apart spiritually. I would say the sand is man's word and man's idea. It's the worldly spirit from second chapter of 1 Corinthians. It talks about the worldly spirit and the man's spirit compared to, I would say, God's spirit. And they're spiritually judged because they have the flesh judgment. They have the man's word, man's spirit, man's blood, not the blood of the lamb. You know, wine is an emblem of blood, and you can have the blood of your parents or the blood of Jesus. So you need the right wine. Like in the devil's wine store, you'll have murmuring, mocking, scoffing, scorning, slandering, hating. And in God's wine store, you'll have the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness, the gentleness. All these virtues and words that are what we're actually talking about when we looked at it. We talked a bit about how they use the example with the two strawberries and stuff. So we need to speak the oracles of God constantly. You know? The other day I ran into a lady that used to work at Carleton University, and I noticed once that she was wearing clothing that said Jesus on her. And I had her, I never laid on that I was a Christian myself. And I started talking to her yesterday because I was coming back from the bank, and she was on the bus. And she's talking about she being retired too. And so I started talking about the Lord, about Jesus, you know. And I told her, I noticed that her piece of clothing had something about Jesus on her once years ago. And she never knew that I was a Christian until we had that conversation. She told me that she'd like to see her children come from Congo to Canada. And so I didn't get her name. But it was just, I'm going to see, you know, I'm going to talk to that person just to see who it is, you know, just to see if this person is at least called by the Lord, you know. And you know, she's close to retirement too. So it was a pleasant conversation that you don't get too often when in this area of Canada anyway. So praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Samuel.
I'll try to be quick. Just felt from the Lord how the sand is a falling away aspect from the rocks. It's like tiny little bits broken off from a rock. And the rock is the original, he's the foundation, the original word. And the sand is a falling away from the rock. So it can't just be, it has to be mixed in with other things to make it hard, but it will never be the same as an original rock again. So there's a big stark difference there.
Amen. Thank you, Samuel. That's good. Go ahead, Julie.
Another thing that was coming to me is the Lord told Abraham he would be the father of many nations, and to look in the and open the sky and see all the stars, if he can count them, that your seed will be as the stars, and also as the sands as well. And it's like, you know, the stars, well, the firmament, you know, when you go back to Genesis, God created, you know, everything, but he created the lights in the firmament to rule by day and by night. Well, the stars and the moon, they rule by night. But the sand then is of the earth, is earthly. But, you know, all the nations come from Abraham. But Missy knew that. She was going to say that.
She going to say that? Okay.
She was going to say that, yep. But she's probably got more to it.
All right. Do you have your hand up or not, Missy? I can't tell because it's down below the camera. Oh, there you go. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing about, you know, Abraham's sea being as the sand of the sea, and that the sand represents, you know, people, and it's built on man's word. You know, it's like, it was so cool that Andrew was saying, you know, what I was thinking, and Julie's adding to that, and it's cool. And the rock, of course, we know is the Lord. You know, he's the word made flesh. So yeah, our foundation is built on the solid rock, the word of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, hey, this is hi everybody. It's been a while since I've been on. Good to see you all. I was thinking of about the sand and the rock. My sister posted something on Facebook today. It was a picture of a trailer. It was on. She was driving by, took a picture out of her car, and there was cars parked in front of it, like they were parked in front of their home. And it was on a hilly, was kind of hilly, and it would look like sand. But I could, she said, isn't this kind of like what that Jesus said something about building your house on the sand? That she goes, or rock, because it looked kind of like big, you know, big pebbles in the sand. Or it could have been rock, but I'm thinking who really, I can understand Jesus's parable, but who would really in the right mind build on the sand? You know, anyone knows it will give way, but it was interesting to see that. And I was wondering if it was kind of rocky, because they could anchor it. I guess you could anchor into that rock and anchor it, you know, but which is what we are in the rock. We're anchored to Jesus. So I wanted to kind of express that to her more, but I thought I didn't know quite how to go about it for sure, because I wasn't quite sure if that was sand or rock that it was living, that it was standing on. But it was just interesting. I saw that today, and I was thinking on that today, actually, when this came up. So okay. I'm going to think about what to tell her.
So. All right. Better to build it on the rock.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
When you said that, Debbie, about who would build their house on the sand, what instantly came to my mind is, you know, with these hurricanes, people that build along the ocean, they build on the sand and they got wiped out, you know? And it's like, you know, I never really thought about that till just now, that it's like, if you know the word, it would kind of, you know, if that revelation would dawn on you, it was like, I wouldn't want to build my house there. Just, I don't know.
That's true. I've seen so much of those things out there where I've been in Alabama. So I didn't think about that one right now, but yeah, they do build on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, Lana, you want to continue?
Hey, yeah. I appreciate the feedback. My initial thought was also regarding Abraham and the promise the Lord gave him about his descendants being as numerous as the sands of the seas. And that led me to think about the works of man and Joe's note there about self-works. And that that was my conclusion too, that this is speaking of man and man's works versus the teaching and what we have in Christ. So thank you, Lord. Amen. Chapter 3. Holiness and Apparel, Part 1, Modesty and Legalism. Father, in Jesus' name, please bless us today. Give us understanding. Give us grace. Help us to find a balance in the things which we're talking about. Thank you so much, Lord. Please give grace to those who read this study so that they can hear and obey your word and find that balance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to take a look at something that's controversial, although it really shouldn't be controversial. I want to talk about holiness and apparel because there is so much legalistic teaching out there, especially about women's apparel. I went through this about 45 years ago, and I learned a lot from my experience, including some things that God really doesn't like. So I want to share some of those with you.
1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Of course, modesty is an opinion, but we know that modesty is something that won't cause temptation to the man, such as something too tight or showing too much of the form of the body or showing too much skin. Now, that doesn't say what the apparel looks like, because women wear different kinds of apparel around the world. But the main thing that this is talking about is modesty, because you don't want to cause somebody to stumble. Mark 9:42. And whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it were better for him if a great millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Causing someone to stumble will cause you to stumble, and we don't want to do that. Is that Timothy?
Yeah.
2:9. In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness, or your Bible may say shamefacedness, is the Greek word eidos, meaning downcast eyes, which is symbolic of not being flirtatious or forward towards the opposite sex, and especially the opposite sex that is not your husband. Now, there are flirtatious people, and everybody knows who they are because they can't hide it. But God says, no, this is not right. You'll cause someone to stumble. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety. That's the Greek. So from that word. And it's also translated as soundness of mind, self-control, discreetly, with self-restraint, not with braided hair. Let me stop and say something here about braided hair. Normally speaking, I think there are those who go overboard with the doing up of their hair because there's a lot of vanity involved. But there are some ladies, and I know this because I feel peace from God with them, who braid their hair because their hair is unmanageable and they don't want to spend time on it every day making it look decent. So to them, it's not a vanity. We have to be careful, folks, not to be so dogmatic and legalistic that we don't understand what's really going on. God is against vanity. Does that mean a wife has to look like a prude? No. Not if it doesn't please her husband, and we'll talk about that further on. In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment. Fancy hairstyles and expensive clothing, these things are not the things that make a woman look beautiful to men. I know most women think that they do, but they really don't rate, not to the kind of men we're talking about here. Actually, it seems to be more of a competition with the women than it is with the men, but true beauty does not come that way. I will tell you one thing that makes a woman 100% more beautiful than gold or pearls or costly raiment, and that's a smile. In most cases, men have no idea what women's clothing costs, no idea if it's expensive or not. If it's expensive, then it becomes vanity because you're spending money on things you don't have to. And if you're wondering about rings because of verses like this, I once asked the Lord if a wedding ring was wrong, and the Lord told me no. He said he actually liked wedding rings because they identify a woman as taken, and all the men around her don't have to try the door, so to speak, to find out if the woman is taken or not. They can just look at her finger. So there's good common sense in what God is saying here. He's not making a hard and fast rule, but of course, you can overdo anything. With jewelry, there might be something that's valuable and sentimental to you, but you don't have to have a ring on every finger. There's a place that's called gaudy, and it sticks out like a sore thumb. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. Now this makes a woman beautiful. This is the woman that the Lord wants. In a type and shadow, we can see her as the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, or Esther, the woman who was chosen by the king. And in the case of Esther, they spent about a year getting her primed, Esther 2 and 12. But I have to tell you that those preparations represent spiritual things in a woman. A woman professing godliness through good works is beautiful to the Lord and to a scriptural man. This is true, even though not all husbands are scriptural. And we've seen that the Lord wants to use the believing wife to save her unbelieving husband in 1 Corinthians 7:13 through 14. So the wife will have to please even an unscriptural husband. 1 Peter 3 and 1. In like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives. We'll get to that a little later.
All right, let's hold it. All right, I want to ask if anybody, any women have any question about what's modesty and what's not modesty. I'm not saying that I have the answer, but I'm just asking, is there any questions in anybody's mind? What is right and what's wrong? Oh, that's awesome. Everybody's got the right idea. That's great. I'll tell you something in my own experience with women. David's right. I don't know an expensive piece of clothing from Levi's. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any difference to me. If she's got, just like David said, if she's got a pretty smile, that's what I'm looking at. And I'm not saying that I'm looking. I'm just saying that that's what a lot of men like. They like a woman that's smart, quiet, submissive. But that will create a great dialogue with you, if you know what I mean. Somebody that you can talk with. And I'm not going to go too far here because I'll get in deep water if I do. All right. Anybody else want to express? Yeah, Lana.
I just wanted to share what I've learned about smiling over the years. So somebody who was a perfectionist by nature, a Jezebel, raised by a Jezebel, I've come to understand the value of a genuine smile, because as a female, as a woman, we roll, our days run on emotions. And if we're not smiling, our husbands can sense that there is something in the air. And whether it's Jezebel trying to work, or I'm upset or worked up over something. And all it takes is a smile to know that the wife is in her place. She is doing what she needs to do. She's trusting the Lord. She's taking care of the household. The kids are at peace. Because if none of that is happening, there is definitely not going to be a smile on my face. And the last thing my husband wants to deal with in the midst of work meetings and whatever else he's going on is dealing with my emotions and my baggage and everything else that I am, that I used to be happy to download on him and expect him to fix. So a woman's smile goes a long, 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 long way. It speaks volumes, and it's very, very valuable. So praise the Lord that he's changed a lot of that in me, and I can smile more.
Amen. Any of you men want to dive off into this? Chicken. No, I don't believe that. I believe you all know what's not right, what's not right. And that's good. We're learning anyway if we don't. Praise God. You can almost tell a woman that has character. All right, go ahead, Lana. If you does anybody else want to read?
I'll read if you want me to.
Okay. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah. Okay, so here we are. So, and that's 1 Timothy 2:11, right? That's the starting point?
Yeah.
Okay. So, 1 Timothy 2:11. Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection. Here, again, God is saying that it is not the outward things. It's not the gold, the silver and the pearls that make a woman beautiful in his eyes. But he's not being legalistic and making a law that can't wear a ring or you can't wear a necklace. Just know that if you overdo on them, it's all vanity. The point is these are not the things that make a woman beautiful. A woman learning in quietness with all subjection is what makes a woman beautiful. Any woman in the church who wants to be loud or exerting a lot of authority or taking a position of an elder, which is totally forbidden in the New Testament, that woman has a Jezebel spirit. No, she is not beautiful to the Lord. And in fact, she's not even beautiful to most men. Jezebel has to go. 1 Timothy 2:12. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. Folks, it's still true. These people that are doing this or allowing this are totally out of order. They are not being obedient to the scriptures. And if they tweak and twist the scripture, they won't hesitate to do the rest of them the same way. Paul gave us a reason why the woman couldn't teach or have dominion over a man. And it's still the same reason today. 1 Timothy 2:13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now, is this still not true? Yes, it's still true. 14. And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled has fallen into transgression. Is that not still true? Yes, it was true back then. That was the reason. He didn't permit it then. And it's the same reason he doesn't permit it now. 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. But she shall be saved through her childbearing. Women are known for loving and taking care of their babies. And if they really love their child, they're going to. Proverbs 22:6. Tramp a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. To do that, of course, you can't just speak it. You have to demonstrate it. A godly mother wants to be a good demonstration and a good witness to her child. She's not going to be a loud-mouthed cursing woman who is loose with her tongue and loose with her words and her actions. A mother is going to be the best example that she can be for that child. So in that way, a child can be a good influence on a woman. And I think that's what the Lord is talking about here.
All right, hold it just a minute. Has anybody got any comments on women and children and what they should teach them? Let me go ahead, Missy.
I just praise and thank the Lord for forgiveness. Because, Lord have mercy. You know, I didn't learn a lot and come to grow in the Lord, unfortunately, until my boys were older. And, you know, but I know that, you know, just the same as me, the things that I went through with my parents, my mom and all, the Lord uses those things to draw us to him. You know, and all we can do is just, you know, repent for our sins, our mistakes, and try and do our best to make it right with our kids, you know, and pray that they forgive us, you know, and that they have forgiving hearts. And I just felt to say that.
Yeah, well, a lot of us have failed in raising our kids right. Some of them started out way too late to do that. But let me just pose something to you. What if the women started teaching their children, discipling their children, and started teaching them right now about divine healing, deliverance, all of those things, and discipling them and showing them that they have that aptitude as well to be able to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And what would happen when they got to, if they went out, you know, some, they'd never know what a doctor was for unless you told them, because they'd be living in total healing all the time. Your house would be total healed all the time. And they wouldn't know what a doctor, what's a doctor for? Well, that's for people who don't believe God. But there's people from the church going there. Well, that's an abomination to God. You know, but just think about it. If we had done this years and years and years ago, if the church hadn't lost its sight as to who we are in Christ, where we'd be today, doctors would be out of a job. Mental psychologists would be out of a job. All of those things would be out of a job. John Lake shut down all the hospitals in Spokane, or Spokane, I think the way they pronounce it. Thank you, Barry. I've been corrected by that more than once. Spokane. And they shut down all the hospitals in there. Why? Because people, it's a whole lot cheaper and it's a whole lot better when God does it. He does a thorough job, and he's right every time. But boy, if we had taught our children, let's say my dad had taught me, and on and on and on up to now, boy, we'd be in great shape. Go ahead, Claire, or Pat, whoever was first. Go ahead, Pat.
I think it was Anretta and Andre.
Yeah, Anretta went first.
Anretta, okay, I didn't see her hand. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anretta.
Hi. I was just going to share about that. The last time when I went for the women's fellowship, we were talking about children, and they were saying, you know, how, I think it was boys, we were saying how boys just seem to love their moms, and, you know, and I think my boy proposed to me several times through the years, you know, can I marry you, mama? And someone said that. Someone said, boys marry their mothers. And that really hit home, because I thought myself, what kind of woman would I want for my son? You know, like, I'd put a very high standard, you know, a godly woman and this and that. And I thought, if they marry their mamas, am I that woman that I want, you know, for my son? And that really convicted me. And I came home, you know, and I was talking to Andre about that. And I'm like, you know, that woman that we want as a wife, you know, for my son, what will she look like? Just so I could hear his perspective on what, you know, he'd think a woman should be. So that was really good. But Andre wanted me to share he's not feeling well. His throat is a bit off, but he wanted me to share, like, with Evan, because since he was about 2, maybe 3, he's had a lot of exposure, like, to the Bible, to the Word, things that we didn't grow up with, and things like, yeah, deliverance, you know, healing, and very strange, you know, according to the world, ways of being, stuff that, you know, the elders didn't really go through a lot of. And we can see the difference. Like, even his teacher says, he seems to be more aware of the Word than she is. She said, if I could point out any child in my class that has the Holy Spirit, it would be Evan. And that's the biggest compliment anyone could ever, amen, you know. Yeah, praise God. That was just amazing. Yeah, awesome. And I can see why they want the children in the schools, because then the values they get is not the values, you know, according to the Bible. And the Bible is the only way. Yeah. Thanks.
Praise God. Yes, ma'am. That's right. All right. Claire, we got a few minutes if you got something you want to share. Okay. All right. Well, we are out of time.
Pat had his hand up.
Who? Oh, yeah, Pat, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I just wanted to make a quick comment. It kind of jumped out at me, that verse in, First Timothy? But she shall be saved through her childbearing. And it just made me think that the children are obviously a direct, right directly from us through the bloodline. And we're being close to our children and seeing our children in that way are able to perceive in ourselves. We can see more clearly in our children the very things that are within ourselves that either need to be corrected, or, you know, that God will point those out. And that's, I was just thinking about that particular aspect of child rearing, and the woman will be saved through that process. Because I know that we do it, you know, men do it all the time through people's response or reactions to our conversation and whatnot. We could kind of see, you know, the Lord always is faithful to allow us to focus in on an attitude or something that somebody gives us, and then later on show us that it's within us. And so I'm just saying that the that environment is very, very close in a family, obviously. And so anyway, that was just kind of a quick comment I wanted to make.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for our children coming to us wanting prayer and faith to believe in the things that they know that God can do. Yeah, amen. Children are a blessing. I don't care what you say, as long as you can leave them at home. All right. Lord, we just thank you for our children. We do. We bless them. We thank you for them, Lord. We know that they have to go through trials just like we all do. But Lord, the end, those precious moments when they come up and want prayer for something or want to pray for something. Father, those are precious. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you, Father, that we're getting something out of this. We're all learning something. And we thank you for this mighty book that teaches us the rules and the things that we need to do as a husband and wife. Husband's got a lot of on his plate too. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you be with us, provide for us and anything that we need. And thank you for protecting us against any and all circumstances that come up against us. And we praise you, Father, for the faith that you put in us to believe that you can get us out of all problems. In Jesus' name. And Lord, place it in us to rest in the knowledge that you're in control. And anything that we do is not necessary. The only thing you want us to do is to have faith in you and trust you. And we do, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, because you placed it in us. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all.